This is a commercial-free, streaming-on-demand presentation from 92.9 WBPN.
Steve Miller's musical odyssey began in the late 40s in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It was there that his dad, George, a pathologist, met guitarist Les Paul and Les's future wife, Mary Ford.
My dad was the best man at Les and Mary's wedding, and they were putting their act together when I first met them. And I went to the nightclub, I saw Les Paul play, and I went, that's what I want to do.
Come on over, Steve. Hey, that was very good. You want to know something? You've got a good voice there. I like it very much. We all like it, didn't we? I think you should keep singing like that. That's good. That's what I used to do when I was a little guy.
Nobody loves you like the way I do.
5-year-old Steve took that advice from his godfather Les and put it to good use a few years later when Dr. Miller relocated his family to Dallas, Texas.
As soon as we got to Texas, I was in this incredible musical environment. The Big D Jamboree was this big show in Dallas that all the country and Western artists played at. And they had these local television shows. And we had the first Fender music instrument store, I think, in the country was in Dallas. So I was around all this stuff, you know, and my dad would take me to, you know, the Big D Jamboree, and that we had all these rhythm and blues shows. I saw Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers, people like that were coming through all the time, and I was going to see all these shows. So when I was 12 years old, I started my first band.
Pack my bags.
And from there, one can say the rest is history, as Steve's roadmap to success took him back to Wisconsin for college before eventually landing him in Chicago, where he fell in with the right crowd.
Paul Butterfield and Elvin Bishop, and those guys had this beautiful little blues band there. And Muddy Waters was playing there. Junior Wells and Buddy Guy were little kids then, and Howlin' Wolf was there, and people were writing about Butterfield as like, you know, this is an artist and he's got a record contract, and I just went, my God, I could do that.
That's exactly what he did, first with Epic Records and then Capitol, where he's pretty much remained since 1968.
If I was going to do what I wanted to do, I had to have 100% artistic control, which was it's impossible to get that today. And as much as we wanted to have a record contract and wanted to do this, I wouldn't agree to do it until I was in control of everything. I had complete artistic control over everything. If the record company wanted to put a picture of me out, I had control over that picture. The artwork, I had control over that. The music, I had control over that. The publishing, I kept control over that. And because they really wanted to sign us, it took 9 months. And finally, Capitol capitulated and said, all right, you know, and we signed our deal. And that's how it started. That's how we were able to make the records we wanted to make.
Steve has recorded 18 studio albums, as well as a bunch of live discs and compilations. And now, in celebration of his 50th anniversary as a recording artist, Capitol and Universal Music Enterprises, under the direction and guidance of Steve, have put together the Steve Miller Band Ultimate Hits. Available in numerous configurations, this collection spans his entire career with all the hits, some live tracks, rarities, and more. Hi, I'm Dan Neer. Welcome to Steve Miller. Ultimate Hits, all access.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice, 'cause I speak of the pompousness of love. People talk about me, baby, say I'm doing you wrong, doing you wrong. Well, don't you worry, baby, don't worry, 'cause I'm right here, right here, right here, right here at home. 'Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight.
music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I get my lovin' on the run. To shake your tree. Lovey dovey, lovey dovey, lovey dovey all the time. Ooh, yeah, baby, I sure show you a good time. Cause I'm a picker, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. I play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I get my love and I'm on the run. I'm a bitter, I'm a grinner, I'm a lover, and I'm a sinner. Play my music in the sun. I'm a joker, I'm a smoker, I'm a midnight toker. I sure don't want to hurt no one. Keep talking about me, baby. Say I'm doing you wrong. Well, don't worry, no, don't worry, mama. Cause I'm right here at home. You're the cutest thing I ever did see. Really love your peaches, wanna shake your tree. Lovey dovey all the time. Come on, baby, now show you a good.
The Joker, the first number one song for the Steve Miller Band.
I had no idea that it was gonna be a hit single or anything. I remember having a bunch of verses together and singing it at a party and laying across the hood of a Mercury or something outside under the stars in the summer in California. And that's about it. I was just probably thinking about lyrics to make the tune work.
It took Steve 8 albums and 10 singles before he topped the charts. And ironically, that 8th album, The Joker, was the last one that he was contractually obligated to do, but one that came together pretty quickly.
The Joker was the first record that I ever produced myself, where I was in charge, I was the boss, and I didn't have somebody else telling me what to do. So I was finally free to do what I wanted to do. And when The Joker became a big hit in 74, then I had a lot more confidence about what I was doing. And that was really the first time I got right into it.
Of course, the label wanted to capitalize on the success of The Joker, and they asked Steve to immediately record its follow-up.
I was too tired. I couldn't do anything. I was really burned out. We had been touring for 11 years in a row, doing, 250 to 300 gigs a year. So I had a break for about 18 months. I was going to take a year off, and it turned out to be 18 months. And that's when I worked on Fly Like an Eagle and Book of Dreams, both at the same time. And I went into a studio and cut most of the tracks for both of those albums in about 11 days. I think Take the Money and Run was the first single.
This here's a story about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. Two young lovers with nothing better to do. Sit around the house, get high and watch the two. Hear
here's what happened when they decide to cut loose. Headed down to old El Paso, it's where they ran into a great big hassle. Billy Joe shot a man while robbing his castle. Bobby Sue took the money and run, 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 knew what to do. Run, 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 where you going to? Billy Mac is a detective down in Texas. Though he knows just exactly what the facts is, he makes his living off of people's taxes. He ain't gonna let those two escape injustice. Bobby Sue, well, you know, she slipped away. Billy Joe caught up to the very next day. They got the money, hey, you know they got away. They're headed down south with all of their pay. Go on, take the money and run. Go on, take the money and run. Go on, take the money and run. Go on, take the money and run, run, run. Where you going to? Run, run, run. You know what to do. Go on, take the money and run. Go on, take the money and run. Go on, take the money and run. Go on, take the money and run, run, run. Where you going to? Run, run, run. What are you gonna do?
From the new Steve Miller Band Ultimate Hits Deluxe Edition, that's the previously unreleased demo version of Take the Money and Run. The final version of that song failed to crack the top 10, peaking at number 11, and apparently that wasn't good enough for Capitol, as they questioned Steve's decision to release it as a single.
Everybody's going, oh, no, 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 no. You know, you've got the wrong single out. And you were kind of going, yeah, great. And that was following into my strategy, because I had all these songs at the same time, right? And of course, the temptation would have been to take, you know, the biggest hits of Book of Dreams, the biggest hits of Fly Like an Eagle, and stick them all together into one record. So it was spread out, and once again, you get into segueing so that you could have a tune like Wild Mountain Honey, which is, you know, one of my audience's favorite tunes, but the record company wouldn't have paid 2 cents for it, you know? So you have to, you know, we've spaced everything out, and my plan was like to start off kind of hot, but then get hotter and then hotter, which is kind of a gutsy thing to try and do, because normally it's tough enough to get it one single, much less. I think we ran 6 singles in a row or something off those 2 records.
While Steve's strategy may have raised some eyebrows at the label, he was confident in his plan, which included an assist from Pink Floyd.
They called and they wanted me to come and play a gig with them, and I said, "Well, I can't. You know, I don't have a band on it. I'm not ready." And he said, "Well, we really want you to come and play, man." "Well, I really can't." "Well, how about this much money?" "Yeah, can't do it." And then finally, I just told my agent, "Just tell him it's like, you know, $4 trillion. That'll stop it." And they said, "Okay, $4 trillion. Fine, come on over." I went, "Really?" So I started thinking about it. I went, "You know, let's see. It's going to be about 7 o'clock at night when I get on the stage. The sun will be going down. The lights won't be on. I'm just warm-up fodder for Pink Floyd. I'm going to kick their ass as hard as I can. I got to write a tune that's going to really, really, really get the audience off. I sat down and wrote Rockin' Me, man. We practiced it once in my living room and then went over there and played it. And we did just exactly that. I mean, it was 120,000 people. And, you know, Rockin' Me just stopped the whole festival. Everybody just, and I said, you know, maybe we gotta record this one. This is good.
Well, I've been looking real hard and I'm trying to find a job, but it just keeps getting tougher every day. But I got to do my part, cause I know in my heart I got to please my sweet baby, yeah. Well, I ain't superstitious and I don't get suspicious, but my woman is a friend of mine. And I know that it's true that all the things that I do will come back to me in my sweet time. So keep on rocking me, baby.
Second single from the Steve Miller Band's ninth album, Fly Like an Eagle, and their second song to top the Billboard Hot 100.
I had made a record that was going to make FM radio sound great.
And we'll find out exactly what record Steve Miller is talking about when Ultimate Hits All Access flies right back after this.
Music for the 8-track generation. People who don't need fast forward or rewind. Just play.
On WBPM.
Hi, Steve Miller here.
And Dan Neer here. Welcome back to the Steve Miller Band Ultimate Hits All Access. Steve hit pay dirt with his 1976 album Fly Like an Eagle. It gave him a number one song, along with another in the top 10, and a third that cracked the top 20. Ironically, it was the third single that would forever be synonymous with Miller, the title track, Fly Like an Eagle.
It's an amazing song. It's the heart and soul of the band, and it was developed over about a 3-year period of playing it live and finally recording it. And it's been recorded by a lot of people. The Neville Brothers did it, Nancy Wilson, Seal, of course, did it. The really great thing about it is that it has this really nice section in it where you can jam, so it's never the same. It's always different. Each performance of it is different.
Slipping into the future. Time keeps on slipping.
Band and Fly Like an Eagle from the new Ultimate Hits collection.
We have always built our recordings so that they have room for spontaneity, and I think basically my jazz and blues influence is what started us as a jam band originally. When we first came to San Francisco, we did play a lot of jams. That's how Fly Like an Eagle was written. It was developed over a period of time as a jam. And I think it's great that there are jam bands. To me, it's much more interesting to see a musician be spontaneous than it is to see someone perform perfectly something they do note for note the same way every night. You know, then that just becomes rote. But when someone's spontaneous and you see them thinking and feeling on their feet, if that's what a jam band is to you, then that's what we are.
With the success of the albums The Joker and Fly Like an Eagle, Steve's popularity on the concert trail skyrocketed as demand to see him quickly took him from theaters to arenas and then on to football stadiums.
The whole time we were doing all this, we were also having to develop the sound systems because nobody had ever played football stadiums before and nobody had decent sound systems for arenas and light shows and laser shows and things like that. So there's a lot of technology that was being invented during all of this time. So you had to kind of know what was happening with technology, just like you do now. The technology's always changing, the delivery system's always changing, and you just have to keep up on all of them. ¶¶
about living in the U.S. of A. Don't you know that I'm a gangster of love? Let me tell you, people, that I found a new way, and I'm tired of all this talk about love. And the same old story with a new set of words about the good and the bad and the poor. The times keep on changing, so I'm keeping on top of every bad cat who walks through my door. I'm the Space Cowboy. Bet you on a bet you for that. I'm the Space Cowboy. I'm sure you know where it's at. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was born on this rock and I've been traveling through space since the moment I first realized what all the fast talking cats would do if they could. You know I'm ready for the final surprise. There ain't no way around it, ain't nothing to say that's gonna satisfy my soul deep inside. While all the prayers and surveyors keep the whole place uptight, it keeps on getting darker outside. I'm the Space Cowboy. Bet you aren't ready for that. I'm the Space Cowboy. I'm sure you know where it's at. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Originally recorded for his third album, Brave New World. That's a previously unreleased live version of Space Cowboy, which you'll find on the Steve Miller Band's new career-spanning collection, Ultimate Hits. Having worked on the albums Fly Like an Eagle and Book of Dreams simultaneously, Steve had the luxury and the confidence of not having to jump right back into the studio after the Fly Like an Eagle tour, a gamble that paid off.
When I was working on these records, I knew what I was doing. I mean, when I had finished Fly Like an Eagle, I took it to the guys at Capitol Records. I had the tape, I had the two slides for the cover, and I went down there one day and I just went to the president's office and I said, here's my new record and it's gonna sell 4 million copies. And, you know, I got that smile like, yeah. And I said, no, this is. And here's the cover and here's the back. Let's go see the art director. And that day we, just, you know, in 30 minutes designed the cover and I turned it in and that was it. That's how Fly Like an Eagle was delivered to Capitol. And then I said, and here's Book of Dreams. This is the one that's going to follow it. And here's the next album. It's not quite finished yet, but here are the songs that are going to come in. They didn't really know, but I knew. I just knew that I had made a record that was going to make FM radio sound great. That was what radio needed at the time, and that people were going to really like it. And it turned out that I was right.
Leaving home out on the road, I've been down before. Riding alone on this big old jet plane, I've been thinking about my home.
Jet Airliner, the first of three singles off of 1977's Book of Dreams. That song came in for a landing at number 8.
You know, McCartney taught me that.
A lesson from a Beatle when the Steve Miller Band Ultimate Hits All Access returns in a few minutes.
More music in just a moment.
92.9 WBPM, where we fill your day with lots of back-to-back music.
The music America loves best.
Bob Miller starts your workday with a non-stop music hour at 9 a.m. every weekday. J.J. Carter does a non-stop music hour after lunch at 2 p.m. And Randy Turner rolls you home with another non-stop music hour every afternoon at 5 p.m. after work.
Listen to all this music in the air.
No other radio station gives you that much music without interruptions. Non-stop music hours are only here on 92.9 WBPM.
Thank you. Now more music.
'Cause you were born to discover you made lots of good things. Yes, you were. Come on.
Hi, I'm Dan Neer. Welcome back to the Steve Miller Band Ultimate Hits All Access. In the late 70s, Steve and his bandmates were riding a wave of success with the monster albums Fly Like an Eagle and Book of Dreams and the six hit singles they produced. And like so many other artists, Steve also had one of those songs that was a late addition, and it just happened to become a hit.
I had finished Book of Dreams, finished mixing everything. I was working on the very last tune when Lonnie Turner walked in and said, "Oh, by the way, I've got this song," and he played it for me, and it was a tune he had worked on with Greg Douglas. And I said, "Well, why don't you get Greg and come on over and let's record it this afternoon then, because this is really a great song." So he came over, and we cut the track just like that, and I sang it, and I think the song was done in 45 minutes. We mixed it and finished the album, and out it went.
I met you on somebody's island. You thought you had known me before. I brought you a crate on fire. They waited all night by your door. You probably wouldn't remember. I probably couldn't forget. Jungle love and the surf and the pouring rain. Everything's better when wet.
Off of Book of Dreams, that's the Steve Miller Band in Jungle Love, a last-minute recording which years later was given a new lease on life when it became the theme song on the last three seasons of the CBS sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond. Another noteworthy last-minute recording of Steve's took place back in 1969 during the sessions for his third album, Brave New World, with a very special guest on drums.
I was recording in London, and I was working with an engineer named Glenn Johns, and Glenn was working with the Beatles. And I went over to mix Brave New World, and the Beatles had run over a couple of days and needed a couple of days to finish up their project. So I was invited to the studio while Glenn was mixing and overdubbing their stuff. And I watched them do Don't Let Me Down and Get Back and record a few tunes. And then the next day they were going to cut some tracks, and we were at the studio, and John and Ringo didn't show up. So I went into the studio, and George and Paul and I were kind of just jamming and just killing time until the other guys showed up. They never did. George took off, and then I showed Paul this tune I was working on. He was playing drums, and I was playing guitar. And the next thing you knew, Glenn said, "Hey, that sounds great. Let's record it." And so we turned the machine on and cut the first two tracks, drums and guitar, and then Paul played bass, and I did rhythm guitar. Then we went and put a pedal steel on it, and we did some background vocals together, and then I sang the lead, and the next thing I knew, I'd recorded a tune with Paul McCartney. It was really quite fun.
Recorded in 1969 and featuring a little of what would become Fly Like an Eagle, that's My Dark Hour with Paul McCartney on drums. That's just one of 40 songs you'll find on the deluxe and vinyl versions of the Steve Miller Band's new release, Ultimate Hits. Another one of Steve's songs to become an ultimate hit also owes a tip of the hat to Paul and the Supreme Being, Diana Ross.
I had the music for 3 years. I was in Sun Valley and I was skiing, and Diana Ross came skiing right by me and fell down. You know, so I went over to help her up. I got up, I skied down the mountain, went home for lunch, and I started thinking, and I went, how would Diana Ross and the Supremes do this song? And in 15 minutes, I had written the lyrics to Abracadabra. So it was a 3 years and 15-minute job, you know, but I pulled it off an earlier record at the last second because I loved the music and the lyrics were so lame beforehand. It was a totally different subject, you know. And you know, McCartney taught me that one day. He said, you know, I wish I had taken a lot more time with some of my songs. I was like, really, Paul, which ones, you know? Probably The Long and Winding Road, but that was bad, right? You would probably have redone that one. Or how about Hey Jude, you know?
I heat up I can't cool down. You got me spinning round and round. Round and round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Every time you call my name, I heat up like a burning flame. Burning flame, full of desire. Kiss me, baby, let the fire get higher.
Abracadabra, I wanna reach out and grab ya. Abracadabra, abracadabra.
You make me hot, you make me sigh. You make me laugh, you make me cry. Keep me burning for your love with the touch of a velvet glove.
Abracadabra, I wanna reach out and grab ya. Abracadabra, abracadabra.
I feel the magic in your caress. I feel magic when I touch your dress. Silk and satin, leather and lace. Black panties with an angel's face. I see magic in your eyes. I hear the magic in your sighs. Just when I think I'm gonna get away, I hear those words that you always say.
Abracadabra, I wanna reach out and grab ya. Abracadabra, abracadabra.
Every time you call my name, I heat up like a burning flame. Burning flame, full of desire. Kiss me, baby, let the fire get higher. Yeah, yeah.
Poppiest song he's ever written. That's Steve Miller and Abracadabra, his last number one song and the last one we have time for. Steve's entire catalog is now back with Capitol, the label he started his recording career with in 1968. He has given the company access to his archive of music, films, photos, memorabilia, artwork, handwritten notes, journals, and more to include in upcoming expanded releases as they celebrate his 50th anniversary. And as always, he will direct the concept and curation of the campaign as he's done with this first release, Ultimate Hits.
I think that the reason my songs are still around is that they seem to be fairly simple tunes. There's a lot of harmony singing, a lot of harmony parts. Then when you go through the layers of the lyrics, they have meaning to people. And but I think the main thing is that they're, you know, positive lyrics and people like to sing.
The Steve Miller Band Ultimate Hits is available as either a single or two CD set, as well as digitally and on vinyl. For more details on all things Steve Miller, go to stevemillerband.com. We'd like to thank Jamie Hartley of Universal Music Enterprises, the great Ken Weinstein of Big Hassle Media, and of course, Steve Miller. Steve Miller Band Ultimate Hits All Access was produced by Near Perfect Productions for Universal Music Enterprises. No portion may be used without the written consent of the producers. If you missed some of the show or you'd simply like to hear it again, it'll be available in a few weeks at dannear.com.
Hi, this is Steve Miller.
And I'm Dan Near. Thanks for listening.